Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like $1 million.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a phenomenon that is sweeping the world, at least the literary world. And if you haven't jumped on the Book Talk bandwagon, well, now is your chance to learn more. This week, we are exploring Book Talk from all the angles. We're going to hear from authors, we're going to hear from book talkers, and it's going to be amazing. Let's do this. I'm Sarah Wendell.
I'm Alicia Rye. Welcome to Love Struck Daily, where we bring you love every single day.
So I think in these three episodes, we are going to take a deep dive into all of the things that make Book Talk unique and interesting. And there's so much to talk about.
Yeah.
For anyone who hasn't learned or heard about this, Alicia, what is Book Talk? And for that matter, what's TikTok?
So TikTok is a video social media app, and it started initially as like, they call it like the kids' dancing app, right? It was initially for music and audio and dancing and like lip singing. And then it turned into something, I think, bigger than itself when it turned into TikTok. And now it is everybody under the sun, billions of users from all these countries, everywhere, all over the world.
Yes.
Singing, dancing, skits, talking, connecting, community. And there's all these little different subsets of TikTok. Now, a couple of years ago, you know, when I was first starting out and nobody really understood what TikTok was and nobody understood what Book Talk was, somebody said to me, "Are you on Book Talk?" And they thought it was like a separate app. It's not a separate app.
Nope.
It's its own little community of readers and authors and people who love books on TikTok. It is just a little niche part of TikTok. And it's lovely because I feel like there's Bookstagram, there's Book Twitter, you know, like any place you go, you will find book loving people.
Yes. And I remember when Twitter became huge and all of a sudden television live coverage would put people's tweets on the screen to show what the people were saying about a thing.
Yeah.
That is now TikTok. People's TikToks are now the capsule capture of what's happening right now.
Yeah.
And they're short. They have to be short. You have to get to the point. You don't have a lot of time.
Right. I love it.
And also, It is a way to find the people who love the thing that you love and want to talk about the thing that you love. And that is, I think, the generative human experience, finding the language to talk about the thing that you love to so you can find other people who love that thing just as much.
Yeah.
And we are inviting one of the most popular book talkers onto the show to tell us all about this world in her own words. And I give you a little spoiler. She was so excited to talk to Alicia, and Alicia was so excited to talk to her.
We're mutual fans.
Yeah, you're mutual fans. And that level of enthusiasm is exactly what makes TikTok amazing.
It's so cool. Today we're talking to Sami from Sami's Bookshelf, and she is so sweet and wonderful. And she is in charge, like one of the people who volunteers for an organization called Book Talk, which I am doing a panel for this week, which is just a collection of people who love books by marginalized authors and marginalized readers. And it's so great and nothing that I could have even dreamed of 10 years ago. So I love seeing the youths on TikTok really dismantling so many things and creating such a great space. So we're talking to Sami today. We are very excited, and please give a very special love-struck welcome to Sami. Thank you so much for joining us today, Sami. It's so good to have you and very excited to see your face. I've seen you all over TikTok.
Thank you for having me.
And in my emails. So very nice to see your face.
Oh my gosh. When you emailed me that first time and you were like, I love your TikTok, I actually almost passed out. I was like, no way.
I do love your TikTok. You come across my For You page quite a bit. So it's very nice to see you. I think it's because we have like probably an intersection of like South Asian books. Like there's, you know, that algorithm just, it knows us real well.
It does,
So why don't you give us a quick little rundown of your background, how, you know, what is it that you do day to day?
I ended up on Book Talk during the pandemic. I had a lot more time on my hands. I was a university student at that time, but, you know, it was the beginning of the pandemic. Professors didn't know what they were doing. So classes were suddenly a lot easier. I was like, let me start reading again because it'd been a while. And then I waited a couple months. I downloaded TikTok. I saw people making videos about books and I was like, let me get on this. So it's been, I think, almost exactly 2 years now that I've been on TikTok. And in my day-to-day life, I'm still a student. I graduate next year and I'm a STEM girly. My major is math of all things. I currently don't have a day job, but I do volunteer at Book Talk. That is my part-time quote unquote job.
And that's Book Talk spelled BookTalk.
TALK, right? Yes. Book Talk Inc., the nonprofit, yes. Not yeah. I always forget to clarify between the two. Yeah.
I'm sure people would be like, oh my gosh, you can volunteer on TikTok. Yeah. But yes. So what is your TikTok trajectory, let's say? Like when you started out, did you start out making content about books or was it just, you know, you were being goofy on the internet and then suddenly you found your niche? How did you come about?
I think it was just books, like from the beginning. I started with like those typical quote unquote Book Talk books. And then I slowly found like books with South Asian representation. I was like, wait, that's possible? I was like 19 and I had never read a book by a South Asian author featuring a South Asian character.
Yeah.
So when I read my first one, like that was it. Like I was just hooked after that. And then I changed my content basically to like be more for South Asian voices and diverse voices in general as well, but obviously with a special focus.
What I really like about your account especially is that you are so enthusiastic about the books that you love. And I mean, as an author, like I can tell you that is invaluable, like to have readers who are like, I cannot put this down. Like that is the dream. I don't want readers to go to the bathroom when they read my book. Like I want you to hold it. You know, I want you to read the whole thing cover to cover and then go on and talk about it.
You know, they're portable, right? Books?
Yeah.
No, that's true. I just wanted to make sure.
But that is the only way.
Well, but like a lot of South Asians, books in the bathroom are no. My mom always told me no books in the bathroom.
Yeah, because like books are like gods. Like,
yeah, because so in in Hinduism, yes, they're sacred. So you're not allowed to like touch your feet to them or like bring them in like unclean places either.
Absolutely true. No, I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, I used to get like my grandma used to get so mad if I ever did that. Like, because I would read in the bathtub all the time and she'd be like, what are you doing? Can't take it in the bathroom. And I was like, well, I'm going to.
Meanwhile, I specifically bought an e-reader that's waterproof so that if I drop it, I haven't lost my life.
Oh, see, you know what? E-readers are a lifesaver because they're not technically books. So I feel comfortable sitting in the bathtub with an e-reader.
I feel like that's fair. Yes, absolutely. I also found like as I write more and work more online, I can't do e-readers anymore. Like I need a print book now, which is like I feel like I've come full circle because I was so suspicious of e-readers in the beginning. And then I was like, oh, my God, I can take 40 books on vacation with me in one little thing. And now I'm like, oh, I'm tired of looking at a screen. I need paper books.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts? Like on every day, I feel like we see another article. I think there was one in the New York Times recently. I think there was one in Washington Post recently, too, talking about how BookTok is changing the publishing industry. Like, you know, TikTok is changing everything. What are your thoughts sort of on the future? I mean, as like a romance reader, as, you know, somebody who's been in the genre for a minute, like, what are your thoughts on how this platform will change publishing or what do you hope it'll do?
I think it's already changed publishing quite a bit, right? Like it brought like Barnes & Noble's back from basically the brink of death. You see BookTok tables wherever you go, whether it's Barnes & Noble's, indie stores, things like that, right? And, you know, there was this whole thing about publishers trying to acquire books that are like marketable. But then that also comes around to then what counts as marketable, right? Like who are you thinking of when you say marketable? It's almost always white cishet people. So I have mixed feelings on BookTok. Yep. Like I hope that the trajectory it goes in is obviously being able to highlight more marginalized voices, especially as a lot of marginalized creators are being loud about it. I also fear the worst in that it does the opposite sometimes. I don't think you can have either end like perfectly. It's going to be something in the middle where like, yes, a lot of marginalized authors will be getting highlighted, but also then so will a lot of these white cishet authors who don't write much representation as well.
Yeah. It's a chicken and an egg scenario, I think, a little bit. And I do worry about that with the books a little bit where I'm like, oh, no, like it's going to be a case where it used to be. I mean, the code words when I was starting to write was like, oh, we don't think that people will be able to find this relatable. And that was, you know, just code word like we don't think white people in Target will pick this up.
Right.
And I do fear a little bit, like you said, I fear that they've looked at the books that have gone viral and they're going to say, we don't think this is going to swing on TikTok. Like, we don't know if this is going to go viral.
Even those, like, BookTok displays, almost always just the viral books. And they're very rarely ever written by, like, a person of color, if at all.
Very rarely, if ever. Yeah. I mean, I occasionally, like, wind up on those tables, but I don't, like, you know, I don't usually even make those tables. And I do love what you said about bringing Barnes & Noble back, because I do think that is very true. I think TikTok saved Barnes & Noble. And I think part of it is that Barnes & Noble realized that their individual stores should have a little bit more control. And I went into one the other day and there was a spicy BookTok table.
I've seen those.
What?
There's one in this town that's like 30 minutes away, and it's like the most white, like very conservative town, and they had a spicy BookTok table, and I was like, which suburban mom is reading these?
It's so funny, because like to have something that says spicy romance like in a Barnes & Noble that like would hide 50 Shades of Grey, like before even though it was selling like bangers. Yeah. Like, I think that is the biggest sign of like how things have changed over the past 2 years. And I hope they continue changing.
Yeah.
So one of my favorite things about TikTok, and maybe you can confirm this, is that the things that you work really hard on will never go viral.
Yeah.
And the things that you like post off the cuff, just random like thoughts, will go like mega viral. And you're like, oh no, now people know me for a lock. And that is not what I want to be known for.
Lox and cake pops, my friend. Lox and cake pops.
Yeah.
For people who don't know, I posted a random ass video about like an extra lock that I use on my door. And this made like people really upset and defensive. And so some like Europeans are like, we have much better locks in Europe. And then the Americans are like, get a gun. Why do you even bother with a lock? And then it got posted like randomly on some incel forum, I think. And now I have a bunch of men telling me that I'm not hot enough to be murdered, so I shouldn't even worry about it.
As someone who worked at the front desk of a hotel chain, your lock is very smart and you should absolutely have one. For God's sake.
I was like, I wish I was making money on this random lock. Like, no, I'm not being sponsored for this.
And there's always that moment where you're like, I'm still talking about locks with you people. What is happening right now?
I'm like, it's been a week. Can we move on
from locks, please?
But I think that is one of the coolest things. I mean, it's frustrating sometimes, but one of the cool things about TikTok is you never know what's going to hit, right?
Oh, it's so true.
And somebody said to me, like, you should do branded locks. Like for your next book, because it's like a caper, it's like a heist. And so they were like, you should do branded locks with your name on them. And I was like, I don't want to feed this lock drama any longer than I need to. So it's always like anything you put out, like any content you put out, you can't even like curate it. It's just like sometimes it goes viral and sometimes it doesn't. What's the most surprising video that you've put out that like kind of went big that you were like, oh man.
Sami, what's your lock?
Yeah, what's your lock?
So one time.
We'll be right back after this short break.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hello. From Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. This month, we're bringing you the stories of disappearing acts. There's the 17th century fraudster who convinced men she was a German princess, the 1950s folk singer who literally drove off into the sunset and was never heard from again, the First Nations activist whose kidnapping and murder ignited decades of discourse about Indigenous women's disappearances, and the young daughter of a Russian czar whose legendary escape led to even more intrigue and speculation. These stories make us consider what it means to disappear and why a woman might even want to make herself scarce. Listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So one time I woke up because my bookshelf fell over onto me, and that went mega viral.
Backtrack. Is your bookshelf behind your bed? Like, is it?
So it's like, it's adjacent to it. So my, like, my bed is pushed up against the wall, and then my bookshelf is on the opposite end. So it like teetered over and hit like the edge of my bed. But I just heard this like loud thud, 4 a.m. My dad comes running in. What happened? And I'm like, no, like I'm half asleep. But that video, I think, is my most viral video to date. And people thought like I faked it. I was like, why would I go through all this energy, tip over my own bookcase to like, and have to clean up all that mess just for a video? Like, you know, like that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of.
You don't deliberately put your books on the floor. Have you not been listening?
Right. I said that. I was like, why would I disrespect my books as a Hindu, as a good Hindu? Why would I do this?
You could have stepped on them and that would have been really bad. So yeah, you would never do that.
I was like tiptoeing to clean that stuff up. I was like tiptoeing around my room and like I almost fell over a couple times. I was really trying not to step on any books. It was hard.
Yeah, that's very stressful and very funny. And I love that people thought that you deliberately threw your bookshelf over you. But like, what a good sign of how many books you have on that shelf, right?
Yeah,
fair. It was like, yeah. No more.
It's a sign.
I've been in California like 3 years now, so not very long. And the thought of having anything near my bed now freaks me out. You don't live in California, so I don't think you need to worry about this, but I'm very paranoid about things around my bed, and maybe you are too now. I don't know.
Well, if I ever move to California, I will be.
Yeah, you should be. You should be. Please. That's like my takeaway for anyone planning to move to California. I'm like, don't put anything near your bed. What are your plans for the future? I mean, besides book talk, what do you hope to do both in and out of the book industry?
Oh, in the book industry, I'm not really sure. I would like to continue with Book Talk, the nonprofit.
Can you give us a little explanation of what the nonprofit is?
Yeah. So last year in March, Azanta came to us and was like, hey, I have this idea. And she DM'd like 100 people, I think. And she was like, I want to focus on marginalized voices in publishing. And I think we can organize a conference where we bring those voices together and it's for them and it's about them. And it's also about the readers who see themselves in these people's books. And we made it work. Last year, we planned the conference in like 4 months. It was an insane time. And we had enough success that we were like, hey, let's do this again, but let's do it professionally. So we registered with like the IRS and stuff like that and got our official status in like fall 2021.
Mm-hmm. And full disclosure, I am doing a panel for you guys this week.
Yes, you are. You're doing one of our adult romance panels.
And I'm very excited about that. I think this is so cool to me because I have been writing romance since like 2009, but I've been in the romance industry like as a spectator basically since high school. Like I started reading romance, you know, in the 2000s in high school and college, and I feel like I would have never even imagined seeing something like this, like such a big conference, especially focused on marginalized authors and readers, is like a dream to me. So it's amazing to see. I mean, it feels like it's been a really long time, but that's been, you know, a dozen years or so. Like, so you guys are really doing amazing things, and it's really heartening to see that for somebody who didn't have that when I was in college.
I love it when people say that. Thank you.
People who maybe 10 years ago wouldn't have had a home anywhere or would have felt out of place. I remember when I went to my first conference when I was, you know, in 2010 or something, I felt horribly out of place. Like, I felt like I did not belong there. I hid a lot in my hotel room. I didn't talk to anybody. So to see a whole conference based around this is truly amazing. So good job to all Thank of you. You. You're doing wonderful Aww. Stuff.
I will be texting the team about this. They will freak out.
Oh, good. Do you have any book recommendations for us that you are loving, that you're excited for, that you've read? What do you have for us?
Oh, okay. So I just started A Million to One by Aditya Jaikadar. It's young adult. It's a heist on the Titanic. Mm-hmm. I love Aditya. She's great. I worked with her on the launch for Honey Nishu's Guide to Fake Dating as well last year. That's what I'm reading now. And then I'm hoping my arc of Partners in Crime gets approved on NetGalley. I'm really excited to read that one, actually.
I mean, luckily you have a hookup now. So if it doesn't, please let me
know.
And I'll make sure it does. I'll be happy.
Thank you.
And Savi, what is your handle on TikTok or anywhere else that you want people to find you on the internet?
It is Summy's Bookshelf on TikTok and Instagram.
We'll see you around, definitely.
Oh, for sure.
And you'll see me this week on Book Talk, and I'm very excited about that. And, you know, everybody should go see Book Talk.
Yep.
BOOKTALK, the conference and the nonprofit, and support that. So thank you for your work with that as well.
Yes.
Summy, thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it. You're a delight.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you for having me.
That was absolutely delightful. I could listen to you guys talk about how much you love what you do for hours.
Yeah, it's my favorite.
Alicia, what is our love to go?
I think the love to go for today is that fandoms will always find a way.
Yes.
As long as there's books, as long as there's authors creating books and readers who are hungry for them, they will find a place to congregate on every possible place on this planet, whether it's book clubs or Twitter or Instagram or TikTok. And what I love, love, love is seeing how fandoms change and evolve, and especially now how they're widening and broadening to include people. I mean, I talked about what my first conference experience looks like, and to see Book Talk now and to see that I'm not even the only South Asian author on the panel that I'm doing with them is mind-blowing to me. So what a wonderful, wonderful world, you know, that we live in, that all these people from all over the world can come together and talk about books, even if it's just books falling on them.
Yep. My rule of the internet has always been, no matter how obscure and strange your interest is, there is another person who loves that thing as much as you do. You are never alone in the things that you love.
Yeah. And sometimes, I mean, those are like, sometimes the interest is a little weird, but
yeah,
there's always someone there. You're going to find your community. So
yep.
I'm so glad Summy could come on. I'm glad she could talk about books, and I'm glad she has a platform from which to talk about what she loves.
Absolutely.
And I'm really happy for her. I'm happy to see what the next generation is going to bring us to.
Well, thank you for being part of our community today and loving the things that we love. And thank you for sharing your time with us. If you are looking for more of me, Sarah, you can find me at smartbitchestrashybooks.com. I'm at smartbitches just about everywhere, and on your podcatcher, which is my second favorite word, at smartpodcasttrashybooks.
You can find me, Alicia, on TikTok at TheRealAliciaRai, or on Instagram at AliciaRaiWrites, or on Twitter at AliciaRai. I also have a website, AliciaRai.com, and you can find me and Kai together on our new YouTube channel, The Happy Place. Come check us out there. We're just going to be talking about all things that are happy and make us happy, and hopefully they make some of them make you happy too.
Our researcher is Jesse Epstein. Our editor is Jen Jacobs. We are produced by Abigail Steckler and Little Scorpion Studios with executive producer Frolic Media. This is an iHeartRadio podcast. Have a very happily ever after today. With you.